Well, how are you this morning? I'm going to come a little closer. Is that okay? It is so good to be here again this morning. We come about it once every 6 months, and every 6 months it's different, it's growing, and you're doing a whole lot of new things, and it's good to see what is going on and going into a new building. It's good to go to a new building, especially when it's warmer. And we left the Gold Coast and it was exactly the same as this here. We actually got flooded twice this week. On Friday when we came up here, we left our girls attending to it. And we just thought we were going to get out of there. We got a three levels, three-story place. And the bottom level was completely sort of ankle deep. And we'd spent 2 days, missed out on a whole lot of good things during that time. And we just thought we're not going to miss out on Toowoomba. So we left them to it, vacuuming that water up, because it just keeps raining, so it just keeps coming. And we just left them to it. So it's good, isn't it? It's good to have kids you can just leave things to. And there's 10 of us that live in the house. It's 7 bedrooms and heaps of bathrooms, because they're all girls except for one little baby who's 2 months old. And so he doesn't make too much of a mess, but certainly 7 girls do. And they keep us busy, and they keep us on our toes, and they range from many ages. And I am excited about what God is doing in your midst. I'm excited about the worship this morning and just how that came out. And even as Pastor Steve spoke this morning about expectation, about fulfillment, and it was probably 2 months ago where God began to speak to me about expectation. Spoke on it a couple of weeks ago at church. And expectation is a powerful thing because it comes from a place of your faith, that you can be expectant to see something come to pass and the fulfillment of that. Fulfillment just simply means the desire of seeing something to come to pass. And an expectation it's a belief that you have, and it's a picture of what you see for your future. That's what expectation is. But it actually takes faith to have expectation. So you can have an expectation, but you can have it in all your life and never see it come to pass without you putting faith to it, putting feet to it, putting legs to it, and allowing that thing to become fulfilled in your life. Jesus' birth upon this earth was a fulfillment of what Scripture spoke. His death on the cross was a fulfillment of what Scripture spoke. And his second coming will be the fulfillment of what Scripture has spoken. So fulfillment's a powerful thing. And God has been speaking to us through Pastor Steve, through Pastor Jerry, through many other... I looked up about a dozen prophetic words that have come around the world in the last 2 months, and they speak specifically about fulfillment and expectations. That 2012 is the year of fulfillment and expectations. And there's no doubt about it, for all of us, for the year that we had last year, we have got, still going into this year, we've still got lots of expectations that we're looking for God to do, God to fulfill, God to bring to pass, God to expand in your life and in ours. And it's your faith that is going to see that put to flight and brought into a place where you can see the fulfillment of it. It took 42 generations of people, 42 generations of people to see the fulfillment of Christ born. 42 generations. And of those 42 generations, there were royalty and kings, and there were poor people and lay people. It doesn't matter what they were people that helped fulfill and bring Christ to this earth. People. I mean, God used those people, but it was people that brought Christ to this earth. You and I have a job to do. We weren't in that 42, the generations of those 42, but we are now of the generation. you and I right now to see fulfilled what Christ wants to do, not only in our lives, but outside of these four walls, but what he wants to do not only in Toowoomba, but on the Gold Coast, in Australia, in the world. And you know what? We're of that generation. You and I are of that generation that is going to bring Christ to this world again. Through the fulfillment of what is on your life and what God has spoken into your spirit, not only of recent, but many years ago as well. Many years ago, when Christ spoke into your spirit, maybe personally in a still small voice, or whether through the prophet of somebody else, through the mouth of someone else, he spoke something into your spirit. And when he spoke that into your spirit, it landed. It took seed. And there's been times when you've thought to yourself, well, maybe we're never going to see it. As long as you hold on to that, as long as you have an expectation, as long as that you have a desire to see that come to pass within your life, then you shall see it. And you say, amen. You shall see it. As long as you hold on. As long as you stand. How long should you stand for? How long is a piece of string? You know, we can say to ourselves, well, I've been standing, and I've been standing, and I've been standing, and I've been standing, and I've been standing. The Bible says, just continue to stand. Just continue to stand. Don't give up on it. Because the moment you give up on it, then that seed begins to die. And that seed begins to just come to nothing in your life. And then because without that seed and that purpose of what God placed in your heart and your life in that first place, you then begin to wander. You begin to look elsewhere. You begin to think differently. And you allow then this world to speak into your spirit rather than allowing the Spirit of God to speak into you and to allow what he wants to do in your future. Because he's a good God, amen? He's a great God. And he wants to do good things for HFCC Toowoomba. Doesn't he? Do you believe it? You can be vocal. I don't mind if you yell at me. You can be vocal. Because when you speak it out of your mouth, then you're believing it. When you confess it from your own spirit, then that is life to you. Because the Spirit of God is in you. Therefore, that is hope and that is life to you. So that when you speak it out, you're speaking out life. You're speaking out hope. You're speaking out purpose. You're speaking out the ability that God has placed in you that you can then see that thing come to flight. Never give up. Never give up. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. Amen. It's always good to read scripture, so let's read some scripture, shall we? Luke chapter 5. Tracy and I, at the end of this, we're wanting to pray for some people. We have some words for people. We've been praying for the last week, specifically for you guys, specifically for Toowoomba, specifically to see the manifest presence of God in your lives. Specifically. And during this week we've seen faces that we wouldn't even really know, but God has put faces across our paths and people with certain coloured hair. Tracy and I operate so very differently in the things of God, and she gets very specific words for people, but I get things like third row, fourth seat in. And last week when I was at church I got somebody's sitting somewhere in the middle in a red T-shirt. That's what I get. And then I have to just start. God gives Tracy words, and then she can start. But I get red T-shirt. Third row down, fourth seat in. It's not much information, is it, really? And I remember at the end of last year, God gave me a seat. And so when I got up to preach, there was no one in that seat. And I thought, God, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. You know, it's quite good to know that God can get it wrong. But you know what people are like? They often come to church late, don't they? They often get to church late. And so halfway through my preaching, this person, lady, came in, sat down in that seat. And I thought, God didn't get it wrong. Luke chapter 5. And I need to go there myself because you're already there. Let me pray. Father, this morning we come with expectant hearts. Lord, we just didn't decide to rock up to church this morning and just do the same old thing. Just sing the same old songs. Because they weren't the same old songs. They were the song of season. They were the songs from your heart, Lord, into the heart of your people. They were songs that began to stir us and stir the spirit within us. And so, Lord, we're expectant this morning to receive from you. We're expectant to receive from your word because your word is life and is purpose and is everything that we need for living in this day and age. And so, Father, we give you thanks this morning, and as we come to it, that you would show us your purposes for our lives today. Amen. Luke chapter 5. You know, the beautiful thing about God is that he's no respecter of people. In those 42 generations of people that ushered in Christ's birth, there was adulterers, there was murderers, there was prostitutes, there was kings, there was priests, there was lay people, there was Jewish people, there were Gentiles. They were all sorts of people. So no one's ever excluded when it comes to what God wants to do in the lives of people and in this world. So no matter where we come from, what background we are, what color we are, what sort of shoes we wear, whatever we do, we're not excluded in any way, shape, or form. So there's hope for us. Isn't that good? There's hope for us. There's hope for us yet. Let me read to you. Luke 5, verse 1. And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the Sea of Galilee and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were already washing their nets. And then he, Jesus, got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. You know, it's always dangerous when a preacher sits down, because he's going to speak for a while. He's going to talk for quite some time. So be wary. We did our traineeship in a church where after a while the pastor sat down to preach. And he could preach for an hour and 20 to an hour and a half. So Jesus sat down in this boat to preach. And I'm sure that Peter thought like this, because these guys had been fishing all night long, and now they'd taken their boats and put them on the shore, and now they were washing their nets. If you know anything about fishing, it's a strenuous job, especially net fishing. And so they had those nets pinned up and they were drying them out. They were pulling all the weed and the sticks and the bits out of them and they were cleaning them up. And so when Jesus came along, I'm sure that these disciples, or not yet disciples, disciples to be, began to think, what's this guy on about? You know, we just want to get home, have breakfast and go to bed. We've been out all night fishing. And now he wants us to put the boat back in the water and he wants to sit down and teach us. Let's read on. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, however long that may have been, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Let me tell you this morning that we have a choice in life. We can either choose to live by design or live by default. You have a default button on your keyboard, don't you? And you can push that to do things. But we can live by design, and that design is that we are created by Christ. He manufactured us. He is the manufacturer of you and I. So we can live by what that design and purpose is because He made us. And when we arrived on this earth, we may not have had instructions sellotaped to us, but as you read the Word of God, you soon can soon discover what it is that He has for your life. Well, you can live by default. Now, I looked up the dictionary, and this is the meaning for default. It's an option that is selected automatically unless an alternative is specified. So if you and I came into this world and we lived for a period of time, which no doubt most of us did, not knowing Christ, but as we began to discover Him, we decided to put in place within our lives an alternative, that we were going to live by design and live for a purpose and live for a reason. It's not always easy to go that way, but it's better than just automatically allowing that default button to be set so that just the circumstances of this world become ours, and that we just have to end up living them because we're living by default rather than by design and by purpose and for a purpose. Are you with me this morning? You doing all right? And so we desire to live by design. And we therefore then live by the manufacturer's written instruction about what we're about how we function, how we are to function, how we are to live our lives. And the Word of God shows us that and tells us that is how we're meant to live. In verse 3 of this text, I don't believe for a moment that it was by chance that Jesus got into Peter's boat. I don't think it was by chance at all. There was a number of boats there on the shore, but he just happened to choose Peter's boat and want to get into his boat. And it's never by chance that Jesus just happens to be in your life and in mine today. That he's in our boat, that we've got him on board. And it's not by chance because he knows our future and he knows the purpose of your life and mine. And he had some things to teach Peter in this moment. Jesus was out choosing his disciples at this point of time. He was choosing the next generation that were going to become the disciples of Christ to bring forth God and his purpose into this world. And so he gets into Peter's boat. And we know that he sits down to teach. When you have Christ in your life, when you have him in your boat, you will have opportunity to speak to the multitudes, just as Christ did. When you have Christ in your life, you have opportunity to teach and to be a witness and to bring love and to bring grace to those people in and around your life. Every one of us, it doesn't matter whether we feel that we do not have a voice to speak forth. How many here today, and I want you to put your hand up, do not like public speaking? Be honest now. You know, it's amazing the percentage of people in our world today that just would, they would rather die than get in front of somebody and speak. They would rather be strung up in the middle of town than have to stand up in front of someone and say something. But the reality is that you and I have been called to speak. And it doesn't matter whether it's to 1, to 10, or to 10,000. We have been called to speak. And so if you don't like speaking, get over it. My wife will tell you, the first time I preached. And we went through Bible college together, and whenever I was asked to say grace, and I was always in trouble at Bible school. And we lived in, it was a full full-time Bible college, and I would be violently ill, literally, if I had to give a devotion or say grace in front of the other 50-odd students. And so I would get up and I would make it as short as I could possibly make it. And so I'd get up and say grace, and I'd say, Tapa, and sit down. That was my grace. And so I was forever getting into trouble because of just trying to get out of everything about speaking. So the first time I preached in church, I had 42 pages of notes. And I feel really sorry for those people. In fact, I make sure that I go nowhere near that place where I first started preaching. But I had to get over myself because God had called me to speak. And there's nothing worse than when God calls you to do something and you feel that you cannot do it. And if that's the case, then God, he's the manufacturer. He's the one that's got the written instructions on your life. And so once he speaks, that is it. That is it. And so he gets into Peter's boat. And he sets out and he begins to preach, to teach to the people. There is a point in every one of our lives and a place in every one of our lives where we come to, no matter where it is in our Christian life, that we have to choose between whether we are going to live by design or live by default. You know, it's easy. I used to teach our youth group, and in fact we had printed t-shirts of it. It's easy to go to hell. Just do nothing. Just do nothing. And you'll get there. It's a free trip. But to get to heaven, it costs Jesus everything. And so therefore, there's a call on your life and on mine, and it is going to cost me something, and it's going to cost you something. But it's never at a point where it's everything that's got to come from you, because God gives so much to us. He can get us to a point where sometimes we believe and maybe once thought it was impossible to get to. And so there's always going to be a choice. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. You know, it's easy to be a Christian and actually not serve God. It's easy also to be a Christian and not live for it. You've made the choice, but you're still really living by default. Because you just don't want to pay the cost. You just don't want to do what it is that he's asking you to do. But he says in that same verse, you know, as for me and my house, well, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve no matter what. No matter what the cost. No matter how it may seem. No matter what it looks like. At the end of the day, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord by design, not by default. By design. And then in the second part of verse 3 in this text of Luke 5, it talks about that when we follow Christ, or when we allow him to get into our boat, he is going to take us places where we don't really want to go. He's going to take us places in our spiritual life. He's going to take us places just in our walk of our past. And he's going to show us things. And he's going to teach us things. And in some cases, we're not going to want to listen to those things. We're not going to want to follow those things. But the reality is that because he's the manufacturer, and the only way that we've come to a place in our lives where we're living in a complete fulfillment because of what he's spoken into our lives, that we have to make decisions and choices for our lives, even if they are the tough ones, even if they are a challenge. As you and I go into this new year, the year of fulfillment and the year of expectations, there's still our faith that we have to put legs on to see those expectations come to pass. If last year was a bit of a rotten year and we don't change anything in this year, then this year has the possibility of being a bit of a rotten year too. But the reality is that if we put faith to our legs to see those expectations come to pass, that when we get taught and that we're reading devotions and that we're in our quiet times and God happens to slip something in there that we're not really wanting to hear, we're either going to push the default button or we're going to choose to live by design. And I know which one I want to do. It's not always the easiest. I mean, the Apostle Paul said in the Word, didn't he, that, you know, the very things that I do want to do, I don't do. The things that I want to see myself do, I struggle to do. And that's the reality of our lives. I mean, sure, Christ has paid the cost to everything for us. But there is a cross that we have to carry. There is a cross that we do have to bear. And as we go into this new year, we have the ability to just begin to change, to do things that changing aspects about our lives that's going to make this year different. And they can be just the smallest of things. So we don't have to write a five-page essay on it about what we need to change and what we need to do and how we need to do it. And we can just begin to change a little thing one day at a time. We can begin to spend just a little more time in prayer with him one day at a time. We can begin to do a little bit of that fasting that he's asked us to do, which we've put off. We've tried not to get to, because we all know what it's like. But the reality is that when you're in love with God and you want the very best from him in your life, you'll do it. You'll do whatever it'll cost, because you want to get there. You want to get there. In fact, when you make that decision that I'm going to do it today, I'm going to make that change and do it today, and you make that change and you step out in faith, and then all of a sudden God is there with you. You think to yourself, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Why didn't I do this 6 months ago when I knew he was talking to me about it? Why didn't I step out and do that thing when I knew he was telling me to do it? Amen. You still loving me? Good on you. Now, when Jesus had stopped speaking, he instructed Peter to launch the boat out into the deep and to let down his nets. It's amazing how quickly time goes. To let down his nets. And like I said earlier, I can guarantee you that was the last thing on Peter's mind. And Jesus turns up at just the most inappropriate times when you're so busy doing what it is that you need to get done, and he turns up. And that's frustrating. It's frustrating. But when you honor that, God honors our lives. When we honor that, you know, the very thing that Steve said about giving this morning, that it's not about money, it's about our lives. It's about our attitude towards it. And this is this instant here, because God doesn't desire to take you to a place where he's not going to pour out something of a great blessing and something new into your hearts. I probably don't need to read on. We know most of this scripture. That Peter didn't have to have faith for that great catch. He had to have the faith for the obedience to get back out there. And reality is that when Jesus calls you to a place, he's always going to give you something better. He's going to give you something better. And yet we fight for something better. And we need the faith not to believe that we're going to get the great catch. Because it says that, he says, Lord, we've toiled all night. We've toiled all night and caught nothing. But the second half of that verse says, but nevertheless, because you say so, we'll do it. Because you say so. And it's like we're going to say, Lord, because you say so, I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to do it. Today I'm going to do that thing. No matter what. No matter what it's going to cost me. I'm going to do that thing. And so the faith wasn't for the catch. The faith was for the obedience to get back out there. He'd been out all night and caught nothing. We could say that we've toiled all our lives and got nothing. That we've sown all of our time and finances into businesses and ministries and places and got nothing for it. But it's not the faith that we need to make sure that we do receive that thing sooner or later. The faith is the obedience to get back out there and do it again. And then to get back out there and do it again. And then to get back out there and do it again. That's the faith that we need. Not for what is going to come because of it, of just the obedience of saying, nevertheless, Lord, because you say so, I'm getting out there. You know, there's a reason why they fish all night on the Sea of Galilee. Because if you go to the Sea of Galilee, and I haven't been there, but I've been told, and you know what? I Googled it, and I've seen it. That water is so clear. So you can't fish during the day, because the fish can see the net. So the fish go very deep. And if you look up Google, it's a very deep lake. And so they go right down to where it's dark. So you throw the nets over. There's nothing there to catch. It's daytime. That's why they're up all night toiling. The reality is that that doesn't matter to Jesus. He said, just put your net out anyway. It's daytime. You know, no doubt, it doesn't say there in the verse, but no doubt Peter began to think, it's daytime. You don't catch fish in the daytime. Nevertheless, because you say so, we'll do it. And that's the attitude that we've got to take. That's the attitude that we've got to have. Because without that, we don't really have that expectation to think that he's going to do it for us anyway. And you know, like it, life is tough sometimes. You know, I have spent the last several months just helping people because we run a ministry called Hands of Compassion, but we all know what it's been like out there. So day after day, we're sitting with people that are crying and telling us their story about how it's ended up. And we can cry with people and we can put our arms around people and we can have mercy for people and we can do all sorts of things and for ourselves. We can cry for ourselves at times of what's gone on. Reality is, Lord, because you say so, I'm going to get back out there. I'm going to get back out there. And that's what we've got to do, no matter what. No matter what's been dealt up to us. No matter how long we've toiled for and got nothing out of it. No matter where we've been and what we've seen, we're going to come back to a place saying, nevertheless, nevertheless, Lord, we will do it because you say so. You know, it says further on that, you know, when they realized what such a catch that they got and that they had to call their mates over and they filled their boats as well. And is that not just Christ? You know, like he's just not going to give you a few fish to get you through the next week or so or to sell some to get some money for your family. But he fills your boat. Gives you everything that there is possible to get. But you know, the amazing thing about this whole verse is that Peter goes straight to that place as you and I sometimes go to, and he says, Lord, you need to go away from it because I'm a sinful man. You know, that word sinful there doesn't mean what you and I take it straight away for. You know, it doesn't mean that we've done this wrong and done that wrong. That word sinful in this text in the Hebrew simply means that he's missed the mark. That's what it means. You look it up. It says, to miss the mark. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the mark in my life. And I've missed the mark more times than I'd like to say so. And we all have. We've missed the mark, no doubt about it. And that, I hate that place. It's a horrible place to know that you're in when you've missed the mark. But when it comes to the things of God, we may have missed the mark because we made a decision. But when we place ourselves in the hands of God, we won't miss the mark. Because we're going to be right on the mark because that's where he's telling us to be. You know, the thing is about when we feel that we've mucked up, we've done something wrong, we have that attitude like, Lord, Even when he wants to come and be in our presence, it's like we push him away. You need to leave me. You know, I'm not worthy to have you in my presence. But it's not about us. 42 generations of people. Prostitutes, murderers, adulterers. 42 generations of them. If you count them up, that's a lot of people. And I've asked God the question, God, why did you give such a holy task to such a rotten bunch of people? He said, because I love you. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter whether we've been murderers, prostitutes or adulterers. It doesn't matter what we come from. It's what we're going to. It's where we're going. Nevertheless, Lord, because you say so, we're going to do it. Close your eyes for me. You guys can come up. Father, right now we want to open our hearts to you. Lord, there's quite possibly been a whole list of stuff in our lives that we've felt sinful about, or that we've missed the mark in, or that we've missed the place in. But God, we're not going there anymore. We're declaring it today, just as we sang earlier. Our circumstances. We're talking to our circumstances. We're not going back to that place again. We're living for you. By design. Never by default. By design today. We are the manufactured people by the very hands of God. Lord, we just want to open our hearts to you this morning. We want to open our lives. We're expectant this morning because our heart is open to you. We want to receive afresh from you this morning, Lord. We want to receive afresh from you this morning, Lord. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've worked for it. Not because we've toiled all night. Simply because you love us. And we're your kids. Lord, we desire to have you afresh. Come and touch us. Touch our lives. Touch us afresh this morning. Just allow God to speak to you for a few moments. Just talk to him. Those things in your life that have just been weighing heavy. Just tell them that in faith you're going to step out of that place today. In faith you're going to step out of that place. You're not going back now. You're not allowing those things of the past to dictate to you. Nevertheless, this morning, because Lord, you say so, we're going back out there. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And Tracy and I would love to pray for you this morning, and Steve and Danielle. God is speaking to you in your spirit. And I want to lay hands on you this morning. I've seen some of your faces. I've spent some time in the closet praying for your heart and your life. I don't want to leave this place today feeling like I missed the mark. I want to leave this place today rejoicing in my God because he did what he said he'd do. Let's all stand together this morning. Hayden and Tiff are going to just play quietly, sing. If you want to come this morning, we've both Tracy and I have words for different people, and we may just wave to you and ask you to come out. We don't want to pressure you or do anything. God is who God is. God loves us. His mercy towards us is new every morning. And I say that to God every day because I need his mercy every day for my life. If you want to come this morning, you just come. You just come. If something I've said, something that God has pressed upon you, then you just come this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Pray for you.
You can.
God would say to you that there is another generation that you will live to see. God would say to you this morning that there is a spirit of health and a spirit of wealth coming over your life. The Lord would say this is a new season and you are going to know what it is to have a gift of faith for healing like you've never known before. The Lord would say He's going to begin to put tools into your hands. He's going to begin to creatively open up your life. And He's going to begin to give you things to do because you've thought a lot in the past, says God, about the future. You've thought a lot in the past, says the Lord, about if you were to leave, what you would have left. But the Lord would say there is no leaving. There is a time and a season. And this is a new season for you, says God. It is a season of growth and it is a season of stability. I'm going to begin to plant afresh in your life. You will truly see another generation, says God. And I'm going to place tools in your hands. I'm going to give you creative things to do and I'm going to leave you with a legacy. There is a spirit of faith and healing right now that God is going to impart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The report of the Lord, son, the report of the Lord. The Lord would say, take the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord, Jesus Christ.